Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTrix.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org.
Hello and welcome to The Amazing Show. I'm Justin Robert Young from iTrix.com and TalkingHeadTV.com. And joining me in the Isaac Asimov Library of the James Randi Educational Foundation is the man who makes the show, the amazing James Randi.
Just back from the Galapagos. Wow.
Fresh off the boat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's what we're talking about in this episode, is the big JREF trip down to old Darwin's old stomping grounds of the Galapagos. So I guess, you know, there's really no other way to begin than start from the beginning.
Yeah, I guess so. The Galapagos, an enchanted land. I have been to Ecuador many times. I'm an old Ecuador hand. I've been in the mountains. I've been in Guayaquil down on the coast, and I've been in Quito way the heck up there. I've been through the whole thing over the years. I hadn't been there in quite some years. I will tell you one thing, that in Quito, the airport was a shack before when I was there 30 years ago. And now it's not a shack. It's all stainless steel and glass and beautifully done. But the same guy is in charge of luggage.
Really?
Yes. And he didn't work well last time, and he didn't work well this time. We got off the plane, Justin, and we went to the assembly area where the baggage is supposed to be waiting for us, and we looked up at the board announcing the arrival of flights. We weren't listed. Now, we'd already gone through customs and immigration and the whole thing. That takes quite some time. Mm-hmm. And we got to the waiting area where the luggage is going to be picked up. There was no announcement whatsoever. The flight was not announced. And it turns out that after the flight is announced and has arrived, they take it off. Hmm. And it only accommodates three items on the board anyway. Now, this doesn't sound like a very going concern. So the baggage was all over the place. There were at least 1,000 pieces of baggage, yeah, all over the floor, all mixed up, not grouped by flight or anything like that. One of my pieces of baggage was right smack in the middle. The other was at the extreme outside edge. And if it didn't have big stars stenciled on the side of it, as I do with all my luggage, very reason, I think I would still be looking for it.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's not sorted. It's all just piled on the floor, taken off the belt, and they just pile it all together, and you have to make your way through it, stumbling over the belt and over other people. But the same guy was in charge 30 years before.
Hey, yeah, I swear. At least he has a style. Stayed consistent.
It's very consistent. It's lousy. There's no other way to describe it. Terrible. However, the Ecuadorians are delightful folks. They always have been, in my estimation, and certainly still were. The interesting thing about Ecuador is that I had not realized, because last time I was there, they were using sucres. That's their standard of currency, mm-hmm, their unit of currency, pardon me. Or it was. Now it's the dollar.
Ah.
And that's what's in circulation.
Okay.
And they make their own coinage, like 50 centavos and 25 centavos, the same size as quarters and 50 cent pieces and dimes and nickels and whatnot, in exact imitation of American currency.
Okay.
And they're interchangeable. Because
so
they,
you can use, yes, just, yep, with no problem.
The
no
bills
hassle.
You use are American bills.
Yeah.
Now, how they made this arrangement, I don't know. But it standardized the currency, apparently, and it stabilized it. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
They're not printing dollar bills, but just using American currency. That's the currency of the Republic of Ecuador.
Huh.
But before we go any further about the Galapagos, I want to say this off the top, and I'll close with it as well. The Republic of Ecuador deserves our kudos, mm-hmm, no question of it. They have dedicated themselves seriously to maintaining and preserving the Galapagos Islands, which are 600 miles or so off the coast of the mainland Ecuador. I can give you several examples, and I will, of just how dedicated they are to this. They know that evolution is proven, not just established or hinted at. It's proven,
okay,
by what has happened on the Galapagos Islands. The naturalists who accompanied us, they born right there, many of them from the Galapagos themselves, born on the Galapagos. They understand what's going on. On the other hand, I must break away for a second and tell you that one of them, one of the naturalists, admitted to everybody that he doesn't believe in evolution. Now, how that can be, that's exactly like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a mathematician saying he doesn't believe in addition.
Yeah.
Division and subtraction, they're fine. And calculus, great. And yeah. Integral and and differential calculus, yeah. But addition, I'm not too sure of that. That has to be tested. That's like a mathematician telling you that.
Yeah,
or an astronomer doesn't believe in Sirius or something like that, you know?
Someone born next to Yankee Stadium not believing in baseball.
Exactly, exactly. Or even knowing that it exists. incredible. But aside from that, the naturalists were stunners. They really knew their subject, and they loved their subject. You could tell the dedication. First of all, we went on celebrity cruises, and... oh, my goodness. They actually have a... I don't know the length of the boat, but it accommodated close to 100 people that we had. We had the whole boat.
Okay.
Yeah. We owned the whole boat for that period. Yeah. All locked down. Only us folks were on the boat, aside from the crew, of course. yeah, we needed them, it seems. But it was a flat-bottom boat.
Okay.
With big stabilizers out at the side.
Huh.
Because they will not take the chance of disturbing the natural undersea life.
Yeah.
Because when you get in close to the islands, the water is much shallower. Hmm. And you are in danger if you had a big keel beneath the boat that could do damage to undersea life there.
Wow.
So it's flat-bottomed and stabilizers on both sides. And it's pretty well limited to doing these cruises. Now, we always anchored well off the islands, so we were just a sort of a speck on the horizon. And we were brought in, you'll love this, by little boats known as Zodiacs.
Yes.
Now, I didn't want Zodiacs. I wanted something like, Spectrum or something like that, but because we know that exists. But anyway, they were Zodiac boats, and they are rubber boats. They're inflatable boats. Well, we just hope we didn't strike a flat, you see.
Yes.
Didn't want to have a flat. But motor-powered, but very ecologically sound, at very low speed. And we had a pilot and driver. I don't know what you call the guy who runs the boat. I guess we'd call him a pilot. And we had the naturalist on board who was lecturing us all the way. And we got different naturalists on different days and on different trips that we took. And you had a choice of trips. Some would be on the island and hiking. Other ones would be just... observing at the beach. But, Justin, the richness of the Galapagos Islands is fabulous. There's no other way to describe it. It is an enchanted land. And if any of our listeners get an opportunity to visit the Galapagos on a tour or whatever means, and it would have to be on a tour, I think, because they're very, very limited as to what they'll allow. And rightly so. Mm-hmm. You should take this opportunity. We will be repeating it probably in 2010.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because the celebrity ships are all booked up solid until then. But we're certainly going back.
Yeah.
We sold out the tickets on the thing, which were expensive. I warned you in advance. They are expensive. But we sold out every space on the ship almost immediately. It was very, very popular. But we had such an experience. I can't get over it. I'm just, my head is just buzzing from it. When you, if you have a dry landing is where they can actually take you up to a sort of a thing like a wharf and you can get off without having to wade ashore. In most cases, we had to wade ashore. And when we came back, we had to wash our feet as we boarded the ship and they dumped the sand at sea because we didn't want to contaminate another island with anything we might pick up on our feet.
Yeah.
And they were... really fussy about this. But when we walked about on the beaches, there were crabs the size of pillows. They're monstrous, lovely, beautiful, red, orange, green, every color you can imagine, black crabs and iguanas, marine iguanas that feed on algae and such underneath the ocean and various other green things. And land iguanas as well, in different colors, slightly different configuration. But this is what makes it so rich in life forms. And different islands had different types of iguanas on them.
Huh.
Because they were isolated from one another, and they had developed different tools of the trade, different means of gathering their food. And we saw little finches, of course, little tiny yellow or black or blue or whatever birds, little tiny guys. But the naturalists would tell us, no, only on this island. There are no yellow finches on the other islands, etc.
That's fascinating.
Well, it was fascinating. It was really, really fascinating. And on one island, goat skulls everywhere.
All right.
Guess how?
Yeah, I've no idea.
The goats did.
Normally, I'd be a good sport. I'll throw something out there. No idea how goat skulls.
Goats would not evolve naturally on these islands.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were brought in by settlers early on and set free on some of the larger islands.
Okay.
And allowed to reproduce because goats do that if you leave them alone.
Indeed.
Yes. And they have little goats, and little goats are tasty.
I assume they brought them on for food, milk.
Yeah, for wool and all that.
Yeah.
But they had to go around and eradicate them all. They had to get rid of them.
Because they were
eating up every bit of plant life in sight. And reproducing very well. Thank you very much. Goats don't know how to do this, apparently. And so they had to be taken out of there. And we found on a couple of the islands big plastic buckets. They were sort of apologetic about it. Filled with dead hornets. Because somehow hornets had been introduced into the islands. By some reason or other, maybe carried on a wind or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they had infested the islands, and they were giving the tourists a really hard time.
Gotcha.
Just threatening them more than... I don't think they live on tourists. but it's pretty inhibiting to have a wasp the size of your hand land on you, you know, get your attention right away.
Hey, how you doing?
But they don't use poison. They just use big buckets that are half filled with slightly sugared water and a little bit of detergent in it. Tiny bit of detergent. So the wasps go in there and say, oh, yum, and they're gone. Yeah, they drown.
Yeah.
But filled with dead wasps and, pardon me, wait a minute, they're not hornets, are they wasps? That's a good question. I don't care. Big stinging bugs, anyway.
Big, annoying, stingy.
And sticky. The blue-footed boobies. Now, this got Sean's attention right away. We're going to see a lot of boobies. but he was a little disappointed in the fact that they're sort of seagull-like critters with big web feet that are bright turquoise blue. Bright blue. And they were all over the place. We were stepping on iguanas. We had to be very careful where we walked. And lizards and crabs and everything, just so full of life.
Mm-hmm.
It was abounding. It was just astonishing. I sat on some black lava while the rest of the folks wandered away on some little tour they were taking, and they said they'd be back in half an hour, and I decided just sit there with my camera. And I sat on these jagged black lava rocks right on the shore, and I just waited. And crabs started to move in, and they would come right up to me and tap me with their feet, find out that I wasn't edible, I guess, or not interesting, perhaps, or perhaps tasted bad, for all I know. I would be photographing them, and they looked right straight up at you, right in the face. I guess they were looking at me. It's hard to tell with a crab.
Yeah, shifty eyes.
Yeah, there you go. On tentacles, on stalks, I should say. But wonderful thing to see life approaching you that closely. Now, I'd seen the pictures. We've all seen the pictures of tourists wandering around among the iguanas and the pelicans and everything. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Some of the seals are a little skittish because they were hunted at one time as fur seals.
Okay.
That doesn't happen any longer. When I say skittish, they just will move away and just sort of amble away. But we walked up to a female seal, obviously, who was giving birth. Hmm. And she gave birth to a pup right in front of us. Is it a pup? I don't know. Well, a young seal.
Seal baby.
Yeah, seal baby. There you go. A sealette. Right in front of us, cleaned the little beast off and whatnot, and it began to suckle from her immediately. It was just wonderful. And right in front of us, we weren't 3 feet away. We were taking pictures of it.
Good Lord.
We could have reached right out and we don't touch the animals at all. And we ignore them when they come close to, because they don't come begging. They know they don't get any food from the tourists. They're used to that. We're not allowed to feed them or to pet them or any such thing. So we saw nature at work like this. This seal was good enough to give birth to a pup right in front of us.
Yeah, so it's almost like in its own way, the visitors are interweaved in the ecosystem in a way that the animals just
But essentially,
understand.
They're transparent.
Yeah, yeah.
they, they don't notice them at all. They know that these critters called human beings with the funny cameras and mostly overweight. that's the way tourists are these days, it seems.
Yeah.
That didn't interfere with them, and they were just sort of part of the scenery, but pretty well transparent. Now, boobies do this wonderful mating dance. Oh, it's wonderful to see where this critter with the male, obviously, with these big feet and everything, will just balance on one foot and raise the other one up and then put that one down and raise the other one up. And the females stand there and you can almost see them fluttering their eyes in astonishment. Oh, boy, he's got big blue feet. You know,
look this at kind that. Of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it turns me on. Whoa.
All right.
I'll lay your eggs
nice
for you.
Balancing. Eggs you want.
Yeah. Nice balancing, yeah. But they do this little dance on a narrow pathway that's only big enough for you to travel down.
Wow.
Because there's scrub on either side of it and thorns and cactuses and all kinds of good stuff. And you just have to wait until they're finished with this little dance thing.
Yeah.
And then you step over them and they look at you and say, wait, you're not supposed to interfere with this, you know?
I know. I'm balancing here.
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing my dance here, baby. Get out of here. It was a wonderful experience. Again, I will tell you, go. Now, I got to tell you an episode of Jaime, who was one of the guides. Now, Ecuadorians are, generally speaking, if they're mountain folks, certainly they're rather short. But Jaime was very tall. I don't know how tall he was. He really stood out like crazy. He was born in the islands, and that's his origins, and that's where he has stayed as a naturalist. As I said earlier, very, very well informed, all of them, and very, very generous with their knowledge and very patient with us with our dumb questions. But we approached one very small island that was not more than a couple of acres in size, mostly volcanic rock, and some jagged rock that made it almost impossible for the boat to land, you see, to pull in. There's no beach there at all. But so we didn't land that. We didn't intend to land, but we wanted to see the pelicans and the sea lions and such. They were very abundant there. And we brought the boat in very close. And at one point, one of the passengers, some woman or other, pointed out, and she said, "What's that, Jaime?" And she pointed to a turquoise blue something or other on shore. And he squinted at it and he said, "Oh, my." And he mumbled in Spanish to the pilot and apparently told him to come in right up close against these very jagged glass rocks, volcanic glass rocks, and to maintain pressure against the rocks by keeping the motor going.
Gotcha.
So that he could hop off.
Okay.
And we saw what he was going to do, and we were saying, "Oh, Jaime, that's very dangerous. It's very jagged." And he said, "Yes, I'll be right back. I'll be right back." So he hopped off, and we saw him go on this circuitous route all around these sharp rocks and such to find out what this blue thing was. And he held it up. It was a tattered blue plastic bag that he'd gotten on shore somehow.
Yeah.
And so he made his all the way back and hopped on board the boat again, which then pulled away from the shore. And one of the passengers said to him, "Oh, Jaime, that was very dangerous. That's very dangerous rock. If you had fallen there, you could hurt yourself." And Jaime answered, and that answer will always stay with me. He just shrugged and he said, "But this is my island." Now that's important. He said, "This is my island." And he meant it.
Yeah.
That was a piece of trash on his island.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to have it there. It's all there is to it.
Yeah.
"This is my island." And he put the bag in his pocket. Now I later took a look at it when we got on board the ship. And it was all full of tooth marks and everything. It had been handled by other animals and such.
Yeah.
You know? Can be fatal to them. Uh-huh. They swallow that.
Yeah.
That's fatal to them. As we know, I spent a lot of time at home with can yolks from soft drinks and beer, the occasional beer yolk, I must say, clipping them up.
Yep.
I do that because it's ecologically sound, and I sometimes say, "Why am I doing this?" And they say, "Because I should. It's the right thing to do." Spike Lee told me to do it. Yeah. So, but that's what Jaime was doing. He picked up this bit of trash. "This is my island."
Yeah, his personal safety didn't
even
enter into the equation.
Didn't enter it. No.
Yeah.
No. If he hurt himself, well, he'd put a Band-Aid on it. It'd be all right. But he put that in his pocket, and he brought it back. And I told the rest of the passengers back on the ship when we were closing down in the ceremonies and everything, and I singled him out for attention because he showed us what Ecuador and Ecuadorians are all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to them. And mind you, they are supported. Now, I'll add this as well in perfect fairness. They are supported by many, many billions of dollars from nations all over the earth
Gotcha.
To keep the Galapagos inviolate as much as they possibly can. Hornets or wasps or whatever will invade every now and then. They do something about it.
Yeah.
They try to maintain the balance of the natural habitats. But the fact that they're supported by other nations, the fact that they spend that money the way they should spend it, the way they're programmed to do it, and that they do such a very good job of it. Now, another thing, too, 5 o'clock in the morning, Phil Plait was out, in his usual manner, giving astronomical lectures when we were at sea, you see.
To whomever will listen.
Yes, and everyone, oh my God, the crowd around him, you have no idea.
Oh, he's
because
awesome.
Plait is great. If you know that. And he had this green laser pointer, which would drill holes, I swear, in wood or metal, pointing up in the sky. And it looked like he was touching the stars with it.
Shocked he didn't get it at DragonCon.
There you go. No, he didn't.
He had it before.
Yeah. And anyway, he was out there doing the thing. And I was in attendance. And I sort of stayed around. I watched hammerhead sharks playing in the water right below the ship.
Awesome.
You throw them the occasional tourist to keep them busy, you know.
Yeah.
But then I saw one of the rubber dinghies, the Zodiac craft, come out. Now, they were lowered off the top of the ship. They were stored on the ship, you see, with big hoists that pulled them up out of the ocean. And one of them had been lowered away, and we were within sight of land, and it was being loaded up with garbage. Now, that means sewage, food scraps, the whole thing, and everything that was being discarded from the ship. There was one huge plastic bag big enough to hold this half of this library here that was a pale blue. Another one was pale pink. They were translucent, and they had various labels on them and seals, big official government seals holding them tight shut. One was only plastic bottles. Another one was whatever.
Yeah.
Different classifications of garbage. I saw them loading this stuff on the ship, and I asked, where's it going? Oh, this goes back to the mainland, sir, and it's incinerated and turned into fertilizer. Damn.
Yeah.
Now, that they treat garbage so carefully, and this is sewage and everything now.
Yeah.
Everything that leaves the ship, sand and various other things, they treat it very, very carefully. They are not going to cross-contaminate these islands, and they're not going to contaminate the waters around the islands. They're being very, very careful. So my hat's off to the Republic of Ecuador for having done a wonderful job. We enjoyed our trip to the Galapagos immensely. It was well worth the time that I spent there, and I had a ball. Everyone seemed to enjoy my presence, and I certainly enjoyed theirs. And I will do it again in a wink.
Yes, with the only caveat being if somebody can help the baggage claim guy.
That's never going to
improve. But that's it.
That's an Ecuadorian syndrome, I think. They can't handle baggage. They don't know how to do it. So,
but all that talent that would otherwise go to baggage claim has gone into
have a flag on your baggage and color it bright orange or something like that so you can find it, because otherwise you're dead.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And just to reiterate, you said 2010... The JREF will organize another.
JREF will be, as a matter of fact, we're already taking reservations for it. Now, people have heard about it from other people. And a lady called me just last night. Her name was Linda something or other, not our Linda, another Linda. And she called and she wanted to talk to Linda. Well, Linda had just left. So Linda called her this morning and she's got her reservation in already for 2010.
People lining up and throwing money at you
Can
guys
you
to get
imagine?
On the boat.
Yes. Keep doing it. But Galapagos, wonderful, wonderful success. Wonderful, beautiful adventure. The amazing adventure to the Galapagos was a success, and number two will be a great success as well.
Questions, comments, suggestions? Email randy@itricks.com.
itricks.com.